Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
Hey, and welcome to the best technology resource across the country. It's the Data Doctors radio program. You can always jump in on the show at datadoctors.com/radio or our all-new toll-free number, 888-545-1988. Glad you can make us part of your day. It is the Data Doctors, Ken, Brandon, and Spanky. And Spanky, what the heck's going on in the world of tech this week?
A free Xbox for everyone. Some restrictions apply. Plus, an iPad 2 versus Kindle versus Nook Color. What to take on summer vacation. And finally, sour apples. Need I say more?
Data Doctors radio program.
Yeah, you know what? Let's say a little more about sour apples.
What do you mean?
Malware. It's not just for Windows panes.
I've seen you moping around the office all week.
You lie!
I lie.
My door's been closed. I haven't been moping. You haven't seen anything.
Move along. The infection is coming. The infection is coming.
Yes. He's been Peter Dragon all day, huh?
I've been taking antibiotics for the infection. It's not working.
No, it's not. It's the jig is up.
Look.
We talked about it last week.
We did.
It got worser.
Slightly.
For you Mac people.
It's not the end of the world, but it's pretty darn close, even though we missed the end of the world last weekend. Macs have been hit by malware.
Not just one, now two. Because Apple came out quickly after the one and said, we've got a patch for you, and bada boom, here
and
comes
the bad guys
one.
Go, so.
I wish all of you out there listening on the radio could see the smug look on these two doofuses' faces right now.
Told you so.
It's like being on the playground.
You know why? Apple's been playing this game of, you can't get me.
No,
and guess what?
It wasn't Apple. It was Apple users.
No, it was Apple with those commercials.
Oh.
Hello.
I forgot about those.
If I was them, if you were them, you would have done the exact same thing, right? Take advantage of the moment.
Because at
some point, the ride's going to come to an end, but you might as well exploit that and use that as a marketing tool.
Guess what? No ticky, no washy.
Yeah. The problem really came this week, and for me as an Apple user and as a hardcore MacTastic fan, the problem came with that stupid internal memo. That thing went public, and of course it makes Apple just look like a horrific company that doesn't care about their customers, which is the exact opposite.
Well, what was the highlights of the memo that made them look that way? Because I'm not sure I saw the memo.
Okay, so the memo basically told people in the stores, in the Apple stores, do not fix malware. Do not remove malware. That's not what we're here for.
So wait a minute, but it went a little further. Customers with AppleCare.
You lied. You just said you didn't see the memo.
Customers with AppleCare. I didn't see the memo, but I know that it was specifically aimed at customers with AppleCare. Now, if you're not an Apple person, if you don't own one, you never heard, AppleCare is their premium service level. These are their quote-unquote best customers, right? For those customers, no, we don't take care of this. Our best customers, people who have paid extra to buy something above and beyond the warranty, above and beyond the product, sorry, you're out in the dark.
Yeah.
That was the memo.
So let me.
That's why I have quality care.
Hang on. From the memo itself.
Oh, God.
You cannot show the customer how to force quit Safari on a Mac Defender call.
You cannot show them how to
force quit?
You cannot show the customer how to remove from the login items. You cannot show the customer how to stop the process of Mac Defender in their activity monitor.
Well, we could show them how to do all those
things. You cannot refer the customer to any forums or discussion boards for resolution. This includes the Apple.com forums. In other words, do not set the standard that AppleCare covers malware.
Do not pass go.
Here's the thing, though. As Apple fanboy, and I've got to call Apple out on this, it's just because the memo should never have leaked. It was some doofy internal employee that, I'm going to get this out there. The problem is, it's not Apple's job to remove the virus. Just like it's not Microsoft's responsibility. It sets a bad precedent. You can't, then everyone who gets hit by anything is always going to be in at the Apple store or go, hey, Microsoft, fix my computer.
Agreed.
You can't do
but
that.
But rather than saying, don't do anything, thou shalt not help people.
That was
maybe
dumb.
Maybe it's, we've created these resources and this is where you can point people at for their self-help, or they can come in and they can pay for service.
But here's the part that really shows that Apple cares. Once you know that the call is about Mac Defender, and then the customer decides to try and ask you a general question to find a loophole, like, okay, then how do you want to install a third-party program in general?
Right, just in general. Then what do you do?
The point of this is things that would be considered general product usage questions are not allowed to be answered if the customer has already informed you that he potentially has Mac Defender and is now asking obvious questions to skirt the policy. This is insanity.
That's because Mac users are smart enough to kind of mind meld and mess people up.
This is not the malware we're talking about.
Yes. This is something totally different. I wonder if AppZapper would work. I have to check into that this week. I'll go to our data lab and see what happens with that.
I'm guessing the fix is a little more involved. Part of the fix is you gave your credit card information to somebody.
Oh, yeah. We get a new Oopsie. Credit card.
So, by the way, the AppleCare techs that are having to deal with this policy are calling this horrid, and another one has said, the S has hit the fan. But they feel so trapped because they want to help people. I mean, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And now they're being told, in this case, as soon as they imply they have anything like this malware. So.
Yeah. So for us Mac users, now more than ever, you need protection. You need to protect your Mac just like you protect a Windows box. And I'm sorry to say that, you know, as great as our product is, it's still very stable. We're more popular now, and they're going to come after us.
By the way, the whole thing's up on our website, datadoctors.com/radio.
Hey, Microsoft, switching gears a little bit. The evil dark side or the light side, depending on which side of the fence you sit. They're giving away free Xbox systems.
I need one. Old one died.
And it's actually not a scam. So you know how you see stuff all the time online posted, and you know, especially like Facebook. Oh, enter to win one of 10 iPads given away.
Sure.
They're actually giving away Xbox 360 systems.
Swing better.
How do I get one?
So there's a couple of catches.
Okay.
Oh. Number one, you have to buy a new computer.
Well, I'll go out and buy a new Mac.
Well, check this out. No, this is a back-to-school promotion. So last I checked, most kids are ending school. They ended a couple days ago, or they're coming up this week, right, around here and all over the country. That's kind of right now they're ending school. So back-to-school, we're like a couple months down the road.
It's like Christmas in July.
So they're getting started a little early, which is kind of cool. And you're thinking, well, what does an Xbox have to do with getting back to school? Well, who knows, but who cares, right? So if you're in the market for a new computer, and you're ready and willing to spend more than $699, because that's the qualifier, then at participating retailers, you can get a free Xbox 360.
And they're introducing the new Xbox we hear at E3. And we'll be live in E3 in just a couple of weeks for the big conference. Ought to be fun. Still ahead, we told you about malware for the Mac, but there's an even bigger threat to Mac security. Plus, take a ride in a car that could save your life. This is the Data Doctors radio program. I've been saving up my energy for this one, folks. Have you ever met anyone that didn't have a computer problem? Yeah, I know. Even us Mac users now, we're kind of getting hit, and they're just looking at me like, yeah, you're right, dummy.
A little pounding.
Folks, don't be a slave to your technology. Macs, PCs, Windows, they all exist to make our lives easier. So when your computer acts up and the Apple Store won't fix it, don't let it ruin your day. At Data Doctors, our team of experts can take your pain away like it never happened. We can speed up your computer, network your office, and show you how to back up your critical data. And if you lose everything because you didn't follow our advice, we can get that back too. With locations around the country, there's a Data Doctors store right near you. Just go to datadoctors.com and type in your zip code. Data Doctors, taking the PU out of computers for a quarter century.
Technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Did you know we now have scientific proof that dogs drink just like cats, only sloppier? See the x-ray proof. Go to datadoctors.com/radio and click on the sloppy dog link.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Welcome back to this special edition of the Data Doctors radio program. It's a Crap on Max weekend here.
Oh, God! It's never going to end.
It is not. But first, an Apple partner that's trying to make life better for all of you. All of you out there thinking, you know what, I got to switch to Verizon because they've got that 4G LTE.
And they have the guy.
And they got the guy.
The guy.
Can you hear me now?
Huh?
Can you hear me now? Well, we're finally going to see a little competition here. So the whole hold your horses on jumping ship approach that AT&T's been talking about, finally we're seeing some action. We're going to see the first version of 4G LTE for AT&T customers rolling out in Dallas, Houston, Chicago, Atlanta, and San Antonio later on this summer.
Wow.
And 10 more cities by the end of the year. So there's two things that people that really want this, because we have a Thunderbolt now we're playing with, Verizon's giving us to play with. I mean, it's really
fast.
Spectacular.
It is peppy. It's faster than my like regular wired home connection.
We play tetherball with it.
But right now you have one network, Verizon, that has the LTE,
yes.
Long-term evolution. That's what LTE stands for, so I guess they're in it for the long haul. And then there's like two handsets. A third one just came out this week. It's pretty limited, right? So those of you that are in the same position we are, and we got some news later on with
which
the,
is sitting.
Yes, Apple's iPhone evolution, right? We're all waiting for that next generation so that we can have the handset we want on the network we want with that super high-speed service. Well, I'd say wait.
What about the pink guys? They say that they've got their 4G. I know it's not LTE, but come on.
No, they have a hot chick. They don't have 4G.
What do they do have 4G? It's their fourth generation. It's not 4G, the technical standard.
It's faster than a lot of 3G, but it's not as fast as the 4G that the other guys have that's really 4G.
And oddly, if you look at the map coverage for most cities, they don't actually show where the 4G coverage is for some reason. Unlike if you go to Verizon's website and you look at the 4G coverage, it's very obvious. They're covering large portions of most major cities that they're in.
Question.
Sir.
Question.
Sir.
Do I need to buy a new iPhone to get the 4G when it comes?
Well, since there's no such thing as a 4G iPhone right now,
yes.
The answer would be yes.
But wait a minute. I have an iPhone 4.
Yes.
Why am I so confused? Why do I think
that's the wrong one, G?
And we need a 4G LTE.
So what about, can I just stick on the 4G sticker and then it goes faster?
Well, no, that's if you're on Sprint.
you pretend 4G. This is so difficult. So the 4G phone or the 4 phone, the iPhone 4 doesn't support the 4G LTE.
Yes.
We're going to have to wait for the iPhone 5.
Maybe.
Or
to support 4G LTE.
Maybe.
Why don't they keep their numbers in sync?
Maybe.
Well, no, that was probably by design. You're confused, right?
I'm totally confused. I'm lost.
They achieved their
Welcome
goal.
Welcome to the club.
Great. Hey, remember, all the links to today's program are live right now. Just go to datadoctors.com/radio, and you can find everything we're talking about.
So are you a news junkie?
Oh, who isn't?
Absolutely.
If you're a news junkie, Google has kind of launched a quiet new little feature to their news feeds that lets you get a hold of news right near you. It uses your smartphone's GPS, right, to figure out where you're at, and then it'll show you news.
Duh, winning.
Where you're
wow.
at.
It's like,
that's brilliant.
How long did it take somebody to figure out that that might be valuable?
So like, hey, a storm is coming, and you don't have to go research it. It just comes to you. And
that's
hey,
pretty slick.
There's a closure on this freeway this weekend. That's kind of a big problem, right? So rather than hunting out the news that might affect you, the news hunts you down.
So Google's making smartphones more smarter?
Better. Well, leave it to Google. They are such a leader.
My guess is this will follow into the regular browser-based stuff because they're pretty good at location detection, even without GPSs and smartphones, you know, through your IP address, through all kinds of different things. They're pretty accurate at figuring out where you are. So
it's funny, though. Even if it comes into browser-based, how much do you use your browser at home on your laptop or at night? To look at news, to see what's going on in the world. I'm so used to things popping up in front of me on my smartphone now. I don't think I actually sit down and look for news stories.
I don't have time for interruptions from the news. I seek out the news.
You seek it out where I like the disruption of my day.
You like so when you first came here, we should tell people.
Oh, God.
He had every 13 seconds, his phone was blowing up, right? It was ding, 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 bong, bong, ding, dong, dong. We would try to get through a show like this, and we couldn't even get through a segment. I mean, seriously, you had more alerts, notifications, texts, ding-dongs, TikToks.
And my battery only lasted 30 seconds.
I wonder why. So you've toned it down quite a bit, but still, the other day, we were someplace, and you had already seen some news thing that got texted to you by CNN or some...
No, like it wasn't CNN. They're always 2 hours late. Yeah,
right. I mean, really, the notifications calm down, man.
I calmed him down. What I did is I think I went to the other extreme. So even with this new Google News feature, I went the total opposite direction and I turned off my notifications. I turned off my push on my email and I turned off my email to only manual. And then the other day somebody called me and they're like, dude, check your email. And it was 6 hours later because I had never looked at it.
Oh my gosh. And did the world end?
No.
Because six hours. How you're so important. How does that work?
I think
that email was so important.
I think what you need is a notification system that notifies you when you have a notification.
Oh, that would be cool.
You know what I want? I mean, if there's something really important, you know how Batman got his little notification? They would flash the thing up in the sky, and I want that. When there's something really important, throw something in the sky. Otherwise, don't bug me.
What, a big Disney logo?
That would work for me. That would work.
By the way, if you actually do want to know how to use this local news option.
Oh, yes. Kind of important we explain that.
Huh? Yeah. How would we go about doing that?
Would you tell us?
I don't know.
I thought you were going down a path.
I thought that was your job.
How about datadoctors.com/radio? Duh. Winning.
The really cool thing about the news feature, though, is if you are in an area, let's say you're in Scottsdale, you're in Seattle, and there's stuff going on around you and you don't know it, this really is a good way to get that stuff in. And I wonder, even in breaking news situations, I'm sure that content will aggregate as well.
I mean, the whole concept of, you think about this fire hose that everybody's drinking from every day when it comes to information, finding these very clear ways to make it relevant so that the stream of information coming in is you know, to your needs. That's huge.
Yeah, because drinking just from a fire hose would choke you.
There's got to be a mix, though. I mean, the micro, super, ultra local, while that's cool, I don't know that there's that much stuff that's that local that I really am going to be affected by. And so there's got to be some way to fine-tune this to get some local but some out there. And
yeah, because nothing happens where you live.
Is he in Gilbert?
Solid.
Hillbillyville.
Yeehaw.
Still ahead, Sony is getting into ID theft protection business.
I hate you.
I wonder why they do that.
In the Data Doctors radio program.
All the stuff we're talking about here on the show today, including links, are all live right now for you at datadoctors.com/radio. And if you have a question, you can hit us up on our new toll-free hotline, 888-545-1988, or jump on facebook.com/datadoctors, and we'll try to answer it live during the show.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
So you've heard of LifeLock, right? That identity protection service. Well,
let me give you my social.
Sony is now in the ID theft business.
Oh, really?
Sort of.
And why would Sony decide to suddenly jump in?
That's funny.
What part?
That Sony's doing.
Sony,
that.
No baloney,
well,
with your ID.
In case your head has been in the weeds, you know, over the past month or so, they've had customer data. Now, over 100 million people.
Yeah, because it's not just the PlayStation Network, right?
No, it's everything connected to Sony, pretty much, that's been come after. And personal information for over 100 million people has been leaked. Some of it's been posted online in public places where it can be seen. Usernames, passwords, first names, last names, email addresses, phone numbers, you name it. And in some cases, potentially some credit card information. And so a little bit of a PR move, a little bit of a probably avoid lawsuit move. Sony, they're helping protect people and helping protect people's identities by purchasing some protection for them.
Yeah, the all-clear ID Plus identity theft protection for qualified PlayStation Network and Cryosity members.
And what, sir, is qualified?
You have to submit your email address that is tied to your account. They're going to look to see, were you one of the ones that got breached? And with the whole thing.
April 20th is the magic date, by the way. You have to
April?
That's the date that you had to have service by.
Oh, you had to have had service on April 20th.
On April 20th.
If you signed up since, you wouldn't be affected.
Correct.
So if I had service prior to that, then how do I know if I was affected or not to submit to do all these jumping
through hoops? I guess
it's
just an automatic if you were before April 20th. Here's the question. Has anyone really signed up since April 20th? Because That would be dumb with a capital D.
Oh, no, sir. There were lines around the block of people waiting for the service to come back online to immediately give Sony all their details and all their credit card information.
Yeah, and make sure to use the email address that you used with your Sony. That's how they're going to basically qualify you. It has to be the email address you have registered with them.
That kind of makes sense. Sure, but this is...
And logistically.
You have to redeem it by June 28th, so this is not something that's forever.
While supplies last.
You got a month. Well, they'll get $1 million in protection and ID protection, but the cost of this thing to Sony so far, huge. $171 million.
Yeah, that's a week's worth.
It's a pittance.
I'm guessing that the cost is it can't even be measured. I mean, the what they've lost in hard dollars versus what they've lost in people who aren't going to sign up, who aren't going to renew, who are going to cancel.
Well, the Toyota effect, right?
Exactly.
How many customers did Toyota lose just from reputation?
And it turned out to all be not so much.
Operator error, much like when people call with Windows problems.
Or now Mac problems.
Anyway, so.
Windows problems.
We'll continue to bag on Sony because Sony and Macs are our favorite target these days.
Do it. Just do it. Go ahead.
We don't have a sounder for our mobile app of the week, do we?
Oh, come on. There. Like George That's Jetson.
Meet George Jetson. Hey, I found a really cool, I think cool, and I use the word cool because this one is cool.
Yeah.
And we'll hates the word cool.
It's an app that searches your apps.
Why would I care about searching my apps?
How many music apps do you have on your...
Music apps?
Yeah.
Or sound files?
No, music apps. Four. Yeah, Pandora, iTunes.
Okay.
I can think of two.
Am I going to search them for? I'm confused.
So how often... I mean, it happens where people open an app and they go, well, no, that's not the one I wanted. They go back to another. They're searching around
trying
to find...
Show me all of my games.
No, what you do with the do at... This is like, where do I do this at, is kind of the approach. And it's the weirdest name. It's D-O and then the at sign.
Uh-huh.
How do you index that for a search engine?
I don't know how you do that.
It's doat.com is the website. And it's a free app that you can download. iPhone users can download. So the cool thing is it looks beyond the apps you've installed. So you say you're searching for a concert video for Jamie Cullum. It's going to go search all the apps that you have, plus all the apps in the App Store that might potentially have that content.
So it may not land you on Jamie Cullum's video, but it will land you on, here's five different things that will get you Jamie Cullum's video.
So you just swipe through and it shows you all the different apps and how this particular piece of content is being portrayed. Even if you haven't installed the app on your phone yet, that's where it gets really
interesting. It's really cool. And so if it's confusing, if what Ken is saying is a little confusing, just go to datadoctors.com/radio. We have a link there and they have a really slick video that shows you how this app works. Once you see the video, it is as crystal clear as can be.
Is this a free thing or is it a pay thing?
Free.
Free.
Well, I might try it out.
Confusing, not IR.
Hey, by the way, from the WTF files, what's this for? You know, maps have gone social in 3D.
Gone social in 3D.
Yeah, this is a really hard concept.
You mean maps are connecting with each other?
Maps are connecting with each other. There's a company called C3 Technologies. They've taken maps to a whole new level. 3D mapping, connecting through Facebook, all your social channels. So basically, if you're in New York City and
this is that one they had that video thing.
Yes.
Yes.
You're in New York City. A friend of yours is in Central Park. You get on Facebook, says, I'm here. And it gives you a flyover view of Central Park in three dimensions.
And then it zooms down?
And it zooms down to where the person is. It is the coolest thing.
So you get a visual so that when you're actually there, you go, wait a minute, this is what I saw in the video.
OV maps.
But you're not going to see the person, right? You're not controlling a live satellite.
No, you're not controlling a live satellite.
That would be creepy.
Awesome.
Stalker Central.
OV Maps makes this. Google Maps is now catching up. They're doing street views going inside stores. I mean, this is like all this map technology is getting pretty slick. Pretty soon, we'll never get lost again.
Well, there it is. Still ahead, have you ever wondered how a company like Twitter makes money? They really do, and they're going to make tens of millions more. This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Do they really make money?
Don't they?
I think so.
Okay, it seems like every time I'm doing a live read today, I'm going to be getting smirked at by the guys sitting across from
you?
Me. They're besmirching me. If you spend any time listening to the program, you know how important antivirus software is. And now for you Mac users, you know it too.
You
lose protection.
You've gotten lazy. Your renewal notice pops up. You ignore it. You just go, ah, I'll get to it later. It's the number one reason people just like you and me come into stores for help.
Especially you now.
Thank you. With Data Doctors Quality Care Secure, your antivirus software never expires. And if you have any computer issues, you're just a small copayment away from getting them solved. Imagine never having a big repair bill ever again. That's the beauty of quality care. With plans starting at just $8.95 a month, there's a quality care plan to fit your needs, Mac or PC. Go to datadoctors.com and just click on quality care.
Did you know you could win 2 free airline tickets right now? Well, by tomorrow anyway. And you've just won $1 million. We'll tell you all about it.
Tech knowledge for your technology. Data Doctors Radio Program.
So I've assembled the entourage to talk about Twitter's acquisition of TweetDeck, which, unless you're in the social scheme, you may go, well, what's all that mean, right?
Yeah, Twitter's a waste of time.
I love Twitter.
It's dumb. Nobody needs that.
Gary V is my favorite tweeter. Is it a tweeter?
Twitterer? Twit. Anyway, for those of you new to social media, TweetDeck is a free app that you may highly consider, you may want to consider, because it is not just for Twitter. It started out as being a place where you could easily kind of categorize all the people you follow. So that just on a simple basis, normal Twitter feed, you get like everybody you're following, all 500 or 200 or 1,000 or 10,000 people you're following, just in
or six
stream, right? So you can actually create categories and say, here are all the people that I follow that talk about wine. Here are all the people that I follow that talk about golf and travel and tech.
And Max.
And, well, nobody talks about Max, do
they? Well, 3%, right?
So then they got really smart and they said, you know what? Since you're already doing that here, let's go ahead and add in the ability to kind of monitor your Facebook page. And let's throw in LinkedIn.
Monitor your Facebook page? What do you mean, like monitor?
Like what people are posting on your page, like your wall.
Don't have to open 10 apps, just open
correct.
One.
So TweetDeck becomes this dashboard for your social. So my perspective of why Twitter bought TweetDeck wasn't because of Twitter, because they already have the Twitter audience. This is a way for them to reach in and get people that are actively involved across all the social medias. And at some point, I'm sure TweetDeck will have little advertisements in there.
And while I think your point is valid,
yes,
because there's money involved,
mm-hmm.
I also think that TweetDeck has some better features and is more user-friendly in some aspects than Twitter's main interface.
But Twitter doesn't. Twitter knows that most people that are into Twitter don't use Twitter.com. That's what rookies use, first-timers.
Once did you say Wookiees?
Wookiees.
I did it all for the Wookiee.
So I mean, cause it's obvious. The simple fact that you can't reply, you can't retweet something and add a comment on Twitter.com, that alone will drive anybody that knows anything about Twitter away. And so if they were really that focused on people using Twitter.com for Twitter, they'd do these things. It's really like the entry level. Like you start there and then you branch off.
So Twitter is the base model.
Well, so from a guy who clearly doesn't get it. So I've used the Twitter interface, and I guess I don't get what retweeting is because, I mean, I should get it, but I don't. And so the being able to stick my reply in with my retweet, I don't get that either. Both are kind of confusing with what exactly. I mean, obviously, I know how to type. I know how to press enter. I know how to hit submit. Beyond that, I don't know when I should be using it and why.
Well, yeah, because you're just getting started.
But I've just been getting started for 3 years. Okay. I look at it and I go,
you know, you're the guy, you're like that guy that goes, oh, that water's really cold in the pool. I'm going to go in really slow. And about 3 hours later, he's up to his ankles.
But I'm still left with, that water doesn't look so good to get in.
You should go bowling. Swimming is not for you.
We ought to do, because Brandon, if you're talking about this, our listeners are probably talking, we ought to do a Twitter 101.
We are.
Maybe a webinar.
We are. We're doing free workshops all over the place.
So we need to do that and make that available for our listening audience, because that will
people to love.
Really help.
TweetDeck, final. It works on your desktop. It works on your smartphone, right? Synchronizes everything.
I agree with Spanky. It's a better, easier to use and understand interface, whether that's why they bought it or it's they want to put ads. Or who knows? But $40 million. So it seems like if they just wanted a better interface, they could hire some programmers for less than $40 million to make it.
No, forget Twitter.com is useless. If you're using Twitter.com, start using TweetDeck.
That's just where you sign up.
That's a prescription.
Hey, go ahead.
From the Data Doctors.
From the Data Doctors. Hey, if you have a question for the show, you can always hit us up on the wall, Facebook.com/Data Doctors, and just post it there. And while you're on the wall, while you're on the web, have you been to YouTube lately?
YouTube?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've heard of that before.
YouTube.
If you search anything, you end up on YouTube.
You end up on YouTube.
I actually posted some private videos for some family members.
not that. I don't want to know.
Hold on. Sir, this is not that kind of show.
No, my son had a project for school, and it was a whole, like, he's into dive, and so we took some video and edited it up, and it's there so they could check it out. It was very easy.
Well, YouTube, celebrating its 6th birthday, just moved past 3 billion with a B views a day.
3 billion.
3 billion with a B.
Per day.
Per day.
So wait a minute. The last time I checked, the population of the planet is like double 3 billion, right?
Something
or maybe
like
a little
that.
Less than that.
Like,
half the world is looking at a video every day.
So more than two... I know, mind-blowing. More than 2 days of video are being uploaded to YouTube each and every minute.
48 hours.
48 hours worth of content is being uploaded every minute. How big is their server?
It's not a server.
How big is their server?
You ever heard of a server farm?
Yeah, old McDonald had one.
Yes.
For every... my mind is hurting. So, wait a minute. If that continues at that pace, which that pace has been increasing, right? 48 hours per minute is what's going up. And people are viewing a bazillion.
I think once...
Don't we run out of places on the planet to put servers to store this?
No, but I think once the legislation that's going to... require that all cat videos be taken off of YouTube.
Well, no, they'll tax them.
We'll probably lose about 90% of the content.
Realize this with these numbers. Nearly half the world's population is watching a YouTube video each day, which virtually everyone in the U.S. is watching at least 9 videos a day on YouTube.
But why is this important?
Who are they sampling? Have you watched 9 in the last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you?
He's the one that's overloading.
I watched the one you sent to my wife for happy birthday.
Yes.
I watched the two I uploaded about my son.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, my wife asked me if I could make a DVD to send to her mom she could watch it on her. I'm like, no, I'm going to upload it to YouTube and send her a link, duh.
Quick note, though. Business owners, that's the quickest way for getting to the top of search engine results is to create YouTube videos. Because who owns YouTube?
Google.
Learn keywords and tagging if you're a business owner. YouTube, don't ignore it.
And let me tell you, it is so critical, not just throwing the video up there, because if you throw it up there with nothing keyworded, meaning keywords are basically identity tags. What's in the video, what your main
that's what's
going to
determine whether it comes up when people are searching.
So when people search for Macs or Apple computers, I'm in there.
Or if they search for MacTastic guy.
Think of it like the Yellow Pages and the categories. You got to have categories. That's where people look, right? Still ahead, the Mac attack continues, but malware isn't the biggest enemy.
Remember, the Data Doctors radio program is your source for all things tech. Find all the links to everything we're talking about at datadoctors.com/radio or facebook.com/datadoctors. Hour number two, straight ahead.
Is the Data Doctors radio program. Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
And welcome back to the best technology resource across the country. If you missed any part of the show, we've got lots of stuff posted up there at datadoctors.com/radio. Jump in anytime, including on our new toll-free number, 888-545-1988. Earlier in the show, we told you about Apple woes and getting a free Xbox, all kinds of goodies. It's Ken, Brandon, Spanky. What the heck's going on in tech, Spanky?
Last week, we told you about QR codes. Well, the government was listening. Plus, how about a one-night stand? And finally, can 50 hackers save the world in a day?
Data Doctors radio program.
But first, let the Mac-lashing continue. Remember when...
The Mac-lash.
Yeah, it's Mac Lashes.
Crap on Mac Week.
Well, you know, if you recall we've been doing the show 15 years. Whenever we talked about malware on a Windows machine, invariably Apple fanboy or somebody in your ilk would always go, get a Mac, get a Mac.
We used to call them Mac militants because they would call to talk about how superior they were and how everyone should be in such a clean platform that never crashed, that was ultra stable, that didn't have problems, malware doesn't affect us, and elitist.
So here's my angle. People that are Mac users should be concerned about how Apple is handling this.
Yes.
Because it took them 3 weeks to even acknowledge that this malware existed, right? They just pretended like it didn't exist. Meanwhile, in the back offices, they're creating these little things saying, don't help people because this is not something, we don't want to set this standard. So Apple has a lot to learn about this new world that they've been, you know, creating commercials about.
Yes.
They've been throwing rocks for a long time, and it's obvious that they don't know how to deal with this.
In glass houses.
Uh-huh. My name is Billy Joel.
So is it being overblown by some people? Absolutely. It's not like every Mac on the planet has been attacked. But here's the really disconcerting part if you're an Apple user. If the people you rely upon to guide you through this are acting this way, what does that mean for you as an Apple owner? What's next? What's going to happen next where they're not going to acknowledge, oh yeah, no, there's a whole rootkit. I mean, most people don't realize the Mac OS is built on an old operating system that has a huge number of vulnerabilities that are known.
I know nothing of this.
Yes, of course.
That's what they're exploiting. I mean, this is not, the holes are not new. They've been there a long, long time. It's just no one's taken the effort to target those folks until now. And we're already on round two. I don't know if you know, last week was the first malware scare, right? And Apple's reaction. And they quickly came up with a patch that they've released, and now it's going to fix everything and nobody worry.
And everything's better.
And immediately, there's a new vulnerability that patch won't address, won't fix, won't help, and that doesn't require you to put in your patch. It's a lot less steps. The second generation's already twice as good as the first.
Yeah, so that's the scary thing. So this new version, like you just said, doesn't require a password. So what that means is when you get this malware, it will start automatically doing its thing. Before, you don't have to do anything.
You don't have to allow the thing to be installed.
It'll allow itself.
And who over at Apple was smoking drugs the day that they decided that going to a website where there is a download file ready and just having it automatically start downloading without asking, do you want us to do this? You can have settings that allow that to happen. That's like, duh. Yeah. Really? So this thing may start downloading and start executing without you doing anything except for clicking next degree. Yes, I have to have this protection.
Now, here's the positive. We still have Macs, and they are awesome.
Sure.
Just don't surf the web.
But you were saying earlier that a buddy of yours was going, hey, isn't this thing being overblown? I mean, do I really need to worry about this? Don't listen to what the guys at Apple are saying. They're saying, the wave is going out, but don't worry, the tsunami's not going to get you. If you don't start thinking about this, if you don't start driving a little differently on the web, if you don't start thinking about protection, you're probably going
to
get yourself
in trouble. You know what? Just stay tuned to this show. We will continue to punch Max in the throat.
Thank you. You know, and not all hackers are bad. So there are good hackers. You remember the Wizard of Oz? There's a good witch and a bad witch?
Right.
There are good hackers and bad hackers.
They call them the black hat and white hat hackers.
Correct. Can 50 hackers save the world in a day?
Sure.
How?
I don't know.
Next month, a bunch of hackers are getting together for a hackathon.
Hackathon?
Yeah. It's like hackathon. It's what a bunch of smokers do when they get together and congregate. They're applying their hack skills to help nonprofits do social good.
So I'm a nonprofit, and I need help technology-wise with my website or with research or who knows what.
Correct.
And these people that have these skills, instead of taking their hacker skills and putting them to use for evil and creating stuff that's going to attack Max, they're going to put it to use for good.
Yeah. They're hacking for change?
Hacking for change.
Yeah, change you can believe in?
Change you can believe in. Hope and change has come to the internet. Oh. And it's that time, gentlemen.
The Geek Speak of the Week has
Geek
come
Speak of the Week
to the Data Doctors radio program.
Hack that.
Every week we try to bring you a little vernacular, a little portion, a little nibbly portion of the vernacular of tech.
Speak of the week.
Wow. I have the pips with me.
Geek speak. Of the week.
This week's Geek Speak of the Week, E-Ink. E-I-N-K. Why do you care?
Is that a company?
It is not a company. It's a technology. E-Ink is basically electronic ink. The closest thing to electronic paper now is probably the interface of a Kindle or the new Nook, all new Nook.
The easiest way I can think of to describe it is 20 years ago, we had these things called Etch-a-Sketch. And it used like a little magnetic whatever, and you shake it and it goes away, right? The e-ink, the way it looks is a little bit like that.
Jace.
Without the two knobs.
But the right, cool, minus knobs.
So the cool thing about e-ink on it as a display, one, for the Kindle, you can see it out in the sun. But the battery life, because the display requires so little energy versus like a full color touch display, the battery life is enormous,
like
because
a normal,
there's so little.
Yeah, like a normal screen, the entire time you're viewing like text, right, it has to stay powered and lit and all this kind of stuff. But with e-ink, it only has to be powered while it's drawing, and then it kind of goes to sleep for a little bit until
so
it switches.
Same size display in a full color touch might go 8 hours. It'll go like a month with e-ink.
Could I get a high-tech tattoo with e-ink?
You could, but then if you turn off, what happens? If you turn sideways, it goes away?
It goes away.
You need an Etch-a-Sketch tattoo.
Hey, still ahead. How many usernames and passwords do you have? Hackers are counting on you being lazy, and, well, they're winning because of it. It's the continuing saga of Sony, next on the Data Doctors radio program.
All right. You know, gentlemen, I'm walking away. I'm not doing this commercial.
No, you have to come.
No.
We can't do it without you, sir.
All right, look.
Like to make him feel good.
Sure.
The attacks have been happening.
Which attacks?
We're under siege.
Say it out loud.
Macs are under attack just like PCs these days.
Sounds very progressive.
It is. It's a folks, it's a progressive attack against Macs. Look, when a Mac attack happens or a PC attack happens, our team at Data Doctors are expert. They can take your pain away like that. We can speed up your computers, network your office, show you how to back up that critical data. And if you lose your stuff because you didn't follow our advice, which is dumb, we can recover that too. We've got locations around the country. There's a Data Doctors store right near you. Just go to datadoctors.com and type in your zip code. Data Doctors, taking the PU out of computers for a quarter century.
Delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Are you comfortable shopping online? How about on your mobile devices, smartphones, tablets? If you are, what's your spending limit? Be a part of this highly scientific research going on right now at datadoctors.com/radio and click on this week's poll.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey dudes, what's our new toll-free number?
1-888-545-1988.
As in the year we were established.
1988.
Programming note. Turns out us tech guys sometimes have tech issues.
Oops.
Our brand new toll-free number, fee number, it sounds like people are getting voicemail because it's there's some snafu with this phone provider. So, fear not. Go ahead and, you know, if you get the voicemail, just leave your question. We'll take care of you. 888-545-1988.
Sometimes even we need to call tech support. You know what I'm saying?
We'll get it straightened out.
Very lovely.
It happens. Hey, you know, we were talking about the Sony hackathon that's been happening. Oh, it's a whole hackathon weekend with Sony's and Macs. And we told you that there were new hacks that have happened. Not the PlayStation Network stuff, but Sony Ericsson Online Store in Canada.
Hacked.
Well, so we're not Canadian. What do we care? Well, some people listening are, right? What about the Sonet? It's an ISP for Sony.
Hacked.
Sony's Thai website.
Hacked.
So there's been 8 or 9 different compromises, and it's obvious that hackers are targeting anything related to or at all a part of Sony's empire.
Yeah, just to scan another 100,000.
Yeah.
Just add another 100,000 people.
So we started thinking about, you know, a lot of people listening probably aren't gamers, or even if they are, they're not on the PlayStation Network. They're not Sony gamers. They're not even Sony customers.
So I'm safe. I don't have a Sony PS Station.
Not really.
PS Station.
This applies to everybody.
And why?
And here's how. So part of what's going on here is these hackers are getting information, including usernames and passwords. And everyone, and I do mean everyone that I know, and probably you and you and you and you, right? You use the same username, same password for all the different websites.
Yes, so I do. Yeah.
Because that makes it convenient, easy to remember, right?
I can't remember 30.
What happens when 100 million people have their usernames and passwords taken?
You mean they know?
And those 100 million people all use the same usernames and passwords. So even if this isn't you, wherever you're using your username and password and all the places you're using it, when they get hacked, this is going to affect you, right?
So they know that password and monkey are my two primary passwords?
And monkey one when they require Alfred
that's
America.
Right. That's right. Monkey 123.
So let's step back from this for a minute. If you're not a Sony customer and you're one of those people that use the same username, same password everywhere,
you're setting yourself up.
Learn from this before you have the pain and take some time over the next week or 2 weeks or month or whatever. But don't procrastinate on this thing. Take some time and go start changing that stuff so it's different at different sites.
Now, how do you set up a complex password? Does it have to be 16 numbers and 47 digits? How do you make a password that is complex to the point of not so easy to hack?
I mean, it all depends. Most people will say, if you really want to get nuts, make it 12 characters long, right? Alphanumeric special symbols, upper lowercase, and no dictionary words. Now, that's like government security grade level kind of stuff. And just know that the longer it is, the less likely you'd find it in a dictionary, the more it includes upper, lower numbers. You know, the more stuff you do, the more complex it is, the harder it is to
special
break.
Special characters like exclamation points, pound signs, those
but
things.
This isn't even about making super secure passwords, which is a good idea. This is about not having the same one for every site. Because when you do, and one of those sites gets compromised, people get into your email then, they start getting into your Facebook because you use the same thing everywhere. Let's face it, we all do this, right? And so the practical part of this is a little bit rough because how do you remember all these different usernames and all these different passwords for all these different sites, right?
Right.
And so there's password managers out there that you can use. Certainly don't take and store them in some digital file on your computer, because if your computer gets compromised, yeah, not so bad.
Hello.
But so I've seen some people that take and write them all down and put them in a file cabinet that they lock.
Is it safe to store them on your browser, though? Because you just said don't store them on your computer, but your browser has those cookies or
if
those.
If it's a portable, like a laptop, that's a crazy idea, because you think about it. If somebody gets your laptop,
ooh,
right?
It's a race against time for you to go change everything. And yeah. Can you remember everything to change?
Now, so password lockers are probably the best, especially for people that have laptops. You basically create these crazy encrypted, unique passwords for each location. You only have to remember the master password to the locker program, right? Like LastPass and some of these others.
What if this thing exists online and they get hacked?
Then you probably want to change your passwords.
I'm going to just unplug. I am going to go totally. I'm going to go live in Afghanistan in a cave without technology.
Biometrics.
Yes. Scan the retina. Scan the finger.
That stuff's starting to really pop up there.
Pull my finger.
Scan the finger. Totally different than pull my finger. Totally different.
So anyway, the point of all this, take some time. Think about what you've done out there in the world and think about if you were on the PlayStation Network, how you'd be impacted. Maybe you want to change what you're doing.
Just create some variables in your passwords.
And speaking of thinking about things, think about how much impact the Data Doctors Radio program has on society.
Mm.
Wait, I need a moment of silence for this.
Yeah, this is a deep one. Last week, we told you about QR codes.
It wasn't even a moment.
What they are. That's a moment for me. I'm Mac. I'm fast.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And attacked. Go ahead.
We told you about QR codes. Well, now the government, they heard our program, and they are going to start using QR codes. Amen to the government!
On what?
Soon, all new cars are going to have QR codes to scan and compare.
What?
You walk into the dealership, and on the sticker, right there on the window in the car, not only with the price and the gas mileage, is going to be a QR code. You scan it, and it'll compare cars. It'll tell you the ratings on fuel efficiency from a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, if this is the government doing it, let me guess what's going to happen. You're looking at the window sticker. It has all these specs. You scan the QR code, and it gives you all the same specs.
I'm sure it will.
But you can amemba it that way.
Exactly. It's very easy. Amemba. Here, so what I'm just going to show you on these on the new stickers They'll have a rating for fuel efficiency from 1 to 10 and smog. So 1 is really bad, 10 is really good. I think I have it that way. They'll show you the actual gas mileage over a five-year period. Here's the only problem I have with this silly QR code thing on this. How many of us stand at a dealership and compare cars? We do it all on the internet.
Right, we did that before we went shopping.
Right. It's kind of dumb.
You've already narrowed it down. And what else is dumb is I'm sure they've spent $1 billion in research to figure out that they're going to put a QR code that really it's worthless.
Yeah, name something that the government has done efficiently since... has the government done anything efficiently?
Whatever. Still ahead, hitting the road this summer, which e-reader or iPad or whatever it is that you're going to be taking, which one is best for you before you go and buy one, you probably ought to listen to the Data Doctors because we have our Dear Data Doctors segment coming
up. Our top picks.
The biggest hits in e-readers coming up.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
All the links to all the stuff we talk about are live right now, datadoctors.com/radio. And remember, if you have a question for the show, you can always call us toll-free, 888-545-1988.
And don't forget, we're having a little technology problem there, so you might get voicemail. Just leave a voicemail. We'll get to you.
Yeah. You can always do that, too. Sorry about that. We're calling tech support right now.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
How many of us are avid readers on vacation?
That's this week's episode of Dear Data Doctors.
Ding, 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 ding.
Shall we dance?
Mindy writes,
get your cheek away from mine, jeez.
Trying to decide whether to buy an iPad 2, a Kindle, or a Nook Color for taking on vacation this year. Your thoughts, Data Doctors?
Buy all of them.
Have a very heavy bag.
Well, they're not that heavy. You could carry all three in a bag and probably not even notice.
One on each shoulder, like dual boom boxes?
So we've got specific details of the pros and cons for each one of those devices. Suffice it to say, if you're a hardcore reader and you're going to be outside a lot, by the beach, by the pool, in the park, the Kindle or the new all-new Nook that uses the e-ink we talked about earlier allows you to actually view the thing. Anybody that's got an iPad or... Nook Color, anything. You go outside in the sun.
It's like looking at a blank screen.
I think I'm turning Japanese.
mine the other day gave me an overheat warning and told me I couldn't use it until it cooled down.
That is
your
also
iPad?
An issue.
Yes, if you go out in the sun, it doesn't like that.
Wow.
And the other thing is, because it's using e-ink, the Kindle will last probably the entire vacation without having to charge it up.
Unless you're going on vacations like Ken does.
No.
Where they don't have electricity.
It goes length of time.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It goes 1 month.
Oh, okay.
So I can extend my vacation and still be all right.
Are the months the same length over in Europe as they are here?
Yeah, I think they are.
All right.
So the Kindle will allow you to surf the web, but it's painful. It will allow you to use like webmail. Painful. You can listen to music. You can actually upload music to your Kindle, but it's painful. It's all about reading. Now, if you want to be able to do some of those things and you don't want to spend the money on an iPad, because, I mean, let's face it, the iPad 2 or the iPad would be the ultimate vacation device, right?
Except for reading, you said, out in the sun.
Video. Well, if you're going to be out in the sun. Now, here's the problem with the Kindle at night. It's not backlit. So if you're going to read the book at night in bed.
Lamp.
Yeah, now you got that additional piece.
Can't use my Kindle at night.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly.
That was solid.
So the Nook Color is an interesting device, a little bit heavier, so it's not gonna be as easy to hold.
No,
hang
it's
on
not
to.
A little bit.
Okay,
heavier.
It's a lot heavier.
It's like holding a brick.
It's gonna have an issue with you out in the sunlight, but if you're gonna be reading at night a lot and you want your kids to be able to play Angry Birds and you want Pandora streaming, basically it's a poor person's iPad.
I got a wrist fracture holding it for 5 minutes.
It's not as heavy as the iPad, Apple fan.
The iPad is light as a feather.
You know what, though? Anybody,
it gets heavier when you put more apps on it, though.
Anybody that's going to buy any one of these, make sure and get some kind of a case that allows you to stand it up so that you can use it without having to hold it. Because without that, it becomes a lot more painful.
I just have the Cabana Boy do it.
The whole thing is up there on our advice column in our free help section there. So datadoctors.com/radio gets you a link right to it.
My moment of the sun is here.
He sits waiting for this moment every week.
I pounce like a cat,
like a little
YouTube
girl pining away for his music.
It's the number one reason we are Mac owners. They are the most stable, most reliable, never infected with viruses or malware. No!
Get out, hoser.
We're not invincible anymore.
Spanky.
We must protect the allies and fight the power of the dark side. You've got to stand up, sit down, and get some real protection. Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
You have to fight for your right to party.
Is there anything that makes any sense in anything you're saying today?
The Mac malware has come. The dark side, the evil powers of the other side of the force have striketh.
I just spit on the microphone.
Or struck.
That's the first time I've heard about this. What happened?
I don't want to be a part of this program today. Folks, seriously, I have to tell you that if you are a Mac owner, 5% and growing, obviously growing enough to really want hackers to...
10% in the U.S.
You should have shut up about how cool they were. People wouldn't have flocked, maybe.
Whatever. We have now been hit with malware, and if you think that the media is overblowing it, let me tell you, the truth of the matter is that they're not. There are so many Mac owners out there who still believe that they are invincible. I honestly, we kid about this on the program. I'm not one of them. I'm very practical about this, and it's time to get serious for a couple of moments.
He actually asked me about malware protection for his Mac and for his Macs at home, and because he's cheap, he wants to see if I can get it for free for him, but...
It's a company perk.
But seriously, I mean, he was asking me, can we get this stuff? Because if you can, I'll just go buy it. I need it now.
Yeah, it's like flying the company jet. Don't we get that for free, too?
If we have a company jet, then yes.
Oh, wait, I'm the pilot of that jet. Crap.
We have to get a jet first.
Okay, so if you are a Mac owner, this is the time that you have to really hunker down and go get yourself some protection. You need to. It's just like you wouldn't go outside in a snowstorm without a coat. You wouldn't go... into the wilderness without a survival kit.
Dude, are you're going down the dark, deep path here.
You've got to get in the bunker.
No. Here's the practical thing.
Store your food.
Where in the curve do you want to start protecting yourself? Do you want protection before the storm, or do you want to wait for the storm to hit and go, I better get protection?
You don't put on the protection after she's pregnant.
There's no downside to protecting yourself, is what I think I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Hey, if you've ever wished you could watch local HD channels on your iPhone, well, you can. We've got the link on our website, datadoctors.com/radio.
Also, still ahead, Ford owners. There's some stuff that helps you stay safe. They're taking care of you. This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
All right, so you already know from my MacTastic tip this week that antivirus software is kind of important.
A little overboard there.
Mac or PC. The thrill is gone. Look, for those of you in the Windows world, you've had it for a long time, and a lot of you have gotten lazy. Your renewal notice pops up. You ignore it on the screen. Mac users, that's a new thing for us. We don't know what it is and what to do with it. With Data Doctors Quality Care Secure, imagine that your antivirus software will never, ever expire. When you have any computer issues, you're just a small copay away from getting them solved. Imagine never having a big repair bill ever again. That's the beauty of Quality Care. With health plans starting at just $8.95 a month, there's a Quality Care plan to fit your needs. Go to datadoctors.com and just click on Quality Care.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Ever wonder how to insert an image right into the body of a Gmail message? We've got the steps posted right now at datadoctors.com/radio.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors Radio Program.
It's time for this week's Scam Center. You like that?
Really?
Do you need more?
Do you need more?
Well, the music's supposed to keep going.
Do it again.
It's time for this week's Scam Center.
We're going to get sued. We can't do that.
I get sued for nothing. It's Scam Center. It's our content.
Yeah, what's
we
the scam
own
center?
That. Lots of you have seen Facebook this week, or have been on Facebook this week, and have seen that Southwest Airlines is giving away 2 free tickets.
Yeah, I've got 40 of them already.
Free
tickets?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Free ticket to ride.
Anywhere Southwest goes.
Anywhere Southwest
goes.
Well,
not really. It is a ticket to ride, though.
It is a ticket to ride, yes. It'd be great, except for it's another Facebook scam.
Just like the you can win the iPad, just like you can win the this and the that. Free anything there, no.
And just like your best friend is stuck in Micronesia in an Ethiopian prison.
Remember when you could believe everything? Remember when you could believe everything that you read on the internet?
Everything on the internet is true, except for this.
We told him last week, if you want to know if it's true, you check in with us first.
And we'll tell you.
But the reality is, look at how often we're warning people about Facebook scams. And it's become as bad as email.
It's like a convenience store. It pops up on every corner. It's everywhere. You can't get away from it.
Well, but the good news is you can, if you're focused on these things, you can start to ferret out. You can sniff these things out pretty quick.
You know how you can block Farmville? You can block the annoying guy that always posts weird stuff? Is there any way you could just block scams?
That would be awesome. You know, by the way, speaking of blocking Farmville, I have to tell you, because I follow Lady Gaga on Facebook, I have to block her now. These Gagaville things are driving me nuts.
You're not a little monster?
Oh, my God. Shoot me.
So, by the way, speaking of Lady Gaga, this has no quality. If you could get past the face, I'm starting to see what you saw. I'm starting to see it.
I've been preaching for a while that Lady Gaga is pretty hot.
But the face, bro.
Yeah, it's hard to... just dark room. That's all I can say.
When did we get to the locker room?
We're not in the locker room. We're just talking about Gaga.
All the links to the stuff and junk, including Lady Gaga.
Gaga,
no.
You can find that.
We've been yakking about here. Live right now at datadoctors.com/radio. One place to click. You with the pencil, put it down. Just go to datadoctors.com/radio, and all the links are right there for your use.
I see them trying to write down everything as they go. No, just chill.
/.:
It's the new heartbeat of America.
Chevrolet.
No, Ford.
Huh?
Yeah. So they're working on a technology that embeds these little electrodes, but not the kind that need direct skin contact, just like they're in the seats that detect your heartbeat. And more importantly, if you're having a heart attack.
And why would this be important if I'm driving my car?
So imagine you do a sport, we'll put that in air quotes, on TV. And maybe you also do commercials where you say snap into something. And you have a heart attack while you're driving, and that causes you to crash into a tree, which
then you die.
I'm
wrestling with this. I can't figure out who that is.
Right, it's rough. So the idea is they're trying to detect people having medical problems, and a big medical problem people sometimes have when driving is a heart attack. And more damage is done to their body, including sometimes death, because of what happens after the heart attack and them losing control of the car, than the heart attack itself.
Like crashing into a tree or another car.
Right, so if they can sense someone having a heart attack in the driver's seat, they can shut the car down. They could use a OnStar type system. Of course, not OnStar because it's Ford, but they could use a system like that to notify emergency authority. I mean, there's all kinds of things they could do if they can detect. So kind of a cool idea. It's where, you know, we talk about technologies going all these weird places. A few weeks ago, it's in your cigarettes, and it's now in your car to help it figure out what's going on with
your car. Shut down because you got excited with the new Lady Gaga song.
Yeah. I like Lady Gaga.
Hey, speaking of your car.
Yes.
If your car does happen to end up in the shop, or you just want to try something out kind of cool, there's a company, and they're only in San Francisco right now, that has an interesting twist on rental cars.
Very cool.
Rather than rent from a big chain, or rather than do that whole zip car thing, what about if you really want to rent your neighbor's car?
Oh, I would love... My neighbor has the coolest car. I don't know what it is, but it looks really fast.
Geo Metro. Looks fast to you because you drive a Prius. I know.
I drive a Prius because I'm cheap.
So the idea here, it's a peer-to-peer car rental. right? So you can take, if you have a car and you drive it to and from work, but while you're at work, it's sitting there for 7 hours in a parking lot just sitting. You could list it on this website.
Available from this time
available
to this time, yeah.
Every day, Monday through Friday, blah, 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 blah. And you can put your schedule together. And I'm a prospective somebody that needs a car. I live 2 blocks from it. I can walk over there, grab that car, and off I go. Now, here's where it gets cool. When you list it, the company that's the in-between, they take a cut of the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do with that cut, first of all, some of it goes in their pocket because they got to get paid, right?
Right.
But some of it goes to pay for an insurance policy that's for that driver. So if something happens, you're protected. And they have a cool little device that then can interface with the car so that with your iPhone, your iPad, whatever, you can unlock the car. So you don't have to give somebody the keys. They can unlock it, get the key that's inside, off they go. And they have this really cool rating system that allows me as the owner of the car to rate the person that drove so that future people know if he's a dirtbag or not.
Smoker.
And vice versa, right? This guy's advertising this legit car, but the dang thing broke down on me. Okay. It had this problem. It had that problem.
Okay, but let's make this practical. If you were going to San Francisco in the next couple of months,
mm-hmm.
you could rent through this system a Tesla.
Tesla, that's that all-electric car that's super
yeah.
high-speed right. and awesome-looking. $50.
$50 an hour.
An hour.
Can you imagine driving up the interstate I-5, just the Pacific Coast Highway?
But only 100 miles up because...
Well, just bring an extension cord.
No.
Really
no,
long extension cord.
Yeah, you know, because then you're paying $50 an hour while it's sitting there charging up. Bad, bad, bad choice.
You can't get a break on the download of electricity time.
But really, yeah. kind of a cool idea, right? You've got tons of, if you think about the car you own, there's tons of hours every day that it's just sitting and somebody else could be using that and maybe making your payment for
it. And
you.
Think about this. What about the times when me, the Prius owner, needs to borrow a pickup truck? Instead of borrowing from a friend, I can find someone who's got a big, large bed diesel and just
wait a minute.
Rent
you
that.
Said you were cheap. Wouldn't you borrow from your friend first before you'd pay well, rental?
Yeah. But let's imagine that all of his friends said, sorry, can't help you.
Get out.
Like I've said a few times.
Or they said, I don't want to drive a
exactly.
Prius.
Exactly. Hey, lots of the stuff we didn't get to today is still online. Go to datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see the stuff we missed. And remember, if you get stuck with your technology, your hard drive starts clicking, you drop your laptop in the pool, we can always help. Go to datadoctors.com and type in your zip code for the Data Doctors location nearest you, anywhere in the U.S. Until next week, happy Memorial Day weekend. It's Ken, Brandon, and Spanky. This is the Data Doctors radio program.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.